my friend CJ, who may be still listening out there. I'm still fresh and so clean. Come on now, man. Just answer the questions. Folks, if you want to debate with me, Maggie Dawn, remember these three rules. Do not deflect, do not disinform, and do not disrespect or discriminate. That'll keep that great conversation and debate going. As soon as you change the topics, I'm likely to drop ya. Thanks for all the texters. Dave from New Berlin, Sherry from Horicon, Tom from New Berlin, Ken from Stoughton, TJ from Green Bay, Sherry from Horicon, I think I called you out, Mark from Prairie du Sac. Let's go to the phones. We're going to finish up this discussion of the J6 pardons, and then I'm going to give you all some hope. And we're going to change the topic and talk about how we're all staying warm in these very, very, very cold days.
Well, that threaten their lives.
Let's go to Megan. Megan, are you on the line?
I am, Maggie. Hi.
Hi, go right ahead.
Well, Maggie, I hope this isn't a silly question because I'm just enraged at the insurrectionists and the pardoning of 1,500 of these criminals. But is there another legal recourse for maybe these police officers? Is there a civil suit that could be brought against them, or is this just, it's done?
Yeah, I think civil suits, I do believe there are a couple of civil suits proceeding. They could also be subject to, I don't know if, this is a really good question. This lawyer lady doesn't even know the answer, Megan, because the District of Columbia, I know they have their own police force, but the Capitol is federal property. So I think the only criminal prosecutions possible were these federal ones. So I think from a criminal standpoint, it is a bit of case closed. Unlike Donald Trump, of course, he could be prosecuted and pursued in state courts subject to, as we all learned, the Supreme Court's immunity ruling. So really good question, Megan. That's not a silly question. Gold star.
Right.
Well, thank you. I'm trying to think of other ways to think like this. Just can't be. I'm just so frustrated and upset. And I just, this is such a travesty of justice, and it's going to go down in such a horrible way for us as Americans. I just needed to ask that. And thank you. Thank you for your candid response. I appreciate that.
Listen, sister friend, I will tell you when I don't know, because there are some things I don't know. But I can use this opportunity right now to tease a little segment that Cardi and I are going to be trying out this Friday. We're not sure exactly where it's going to slot in, but it is going to be basically like Cardi and callers ask Maggie questions about the week's news. It's not really supposed to be Stump the Expert, but I will take all tough questions, all questions, and we're going to put a buzzer on me. CJ, you may like this. People think I talk too much. We're going to put a 90-second buzzer on me. You can ask me anything. That is coming up this Friday. I'm going to have 90 seconds to squeeze out my best answer, and then there's going to be a little buzzer. I'm going to be cut off. So keep tuned in for that special segment coming up this Friday. We're going to debut that with each and every one of you. And folks, listen, if you've got a question right now that you'd like me to tackle and you'd like to send that in, why don't you just email Civic Media? You can just, I think the general email address is, put it into press@civicmedia.us, press@civicmedia.us. It'll find your way to me and Cardi, I promise. And we will have a specialized email address for those questions starting on Friday. So thanks so much. Let's see if we can get in at least one more question. Rick from Waukesha. How you doing, friend? Thanks for calling in.
I'm doing pretty good. I've got a legal kind of question about the police in the Capitol. I used to know one. He passed away. But he worked for the Capitol, at the Capitol. Is that federal property or is that the city property?
Yeah, so the Capitol building itself is federal property. I think the mall is federal property. It's why you have this weird conflagration of, you had actual Capitol police that were on scene, but you also had DC, Washington, DC Metro Police. And oh, by the way, I could spend 2 hours of a show going down this very Byzantine relationship between the federal government and Washington, DC. They should be the 51st state. They need full statehood powers because it is very one way. In other words, the federal government gets to dictate to Washington, D.C. a whole lot about their governance, which is kind of weird since Republicans like to talk about, you know, reserving all these powers to the states. We're going to move on because I promised each and every one of you I would give you a little hope. And it's, I just want you to hang in there with me because it takes a little buildup. I would suggest to you respectfully that we have had two moments in our nation's history that have a lot of echo to this current moment, that we can draw both solace and inspiration from. Because we are indeed at an inflection point. But we have been here before. In the first time that this occurred in our country, a fracturing like this, it was literally the Civil War. But let's remember what got us there. Because there were off-ramps. We didn't take them then. But what got us to the Civil War, of course, was the indelible stain on our nation's founding where we decided that certain human beings were property. And I can talk about the Three-Fifths Compromise, and we can reestablish, talk about again, which is so important, the specific history of that time. But let's not forget that this, the enslavement of human beings, was all about economic exploitation. Economic exploitation explained away for generations by bogus science and bogus interpretations of Christianity and religion. But it was always about economic exploitation and human exploitation in service of that exploitation. Our country was bathed in the blood of that fundamental failing that all men are created equal, but sort of not really, three-fifths, but not women, definitely. That inflection point, what brought us to that place, was always about the exploitation of human beings for economic means and therefore the acquisition and keeping of economic power. And the second inflection point in our country's history that I think says much about where we are today was the time of the Great Depression. And what led to that inflection point? What led to the New Deal, the growth, the creation truly of the middle class, of the notion that I'll do better than my parents? What led to the Great Depression was the exploitation of human beings for the acquisition of economic power, of extraordinary wealth. Does this sound familiar? And what came out of both of those inflection points in our nation's history was incredible progress. Now, coming out of the Civil War, of course, vibrant communities built by Black folks becoming elected officials, rising in the ranks throughout our society, and of course, then the repressive pendulum swinging backwards in Jim Crow and lynchings. And of course, the New Deal again left Black and brown folks behind. Social Security, but not for folks that provide childcare. And redlining and all of this. But what our history points to and is an inexorable, an undeniable American spirit that will say to those that seek to oppress you and your children and folks that do look like you and folks that don't look like you, that when people come to oppress us for economic power and the consolidation of political power, for the establishment of a kleptocracy and oligarchy, Americans fight back. We will fight back. We will continue to fight. And it will become clearer and clearer with each passing day that this isn't about immigrant versus citizen. And it's not about black versus white or men versus women or cis heteronormative straight folks against the LGBTQIA community, that it is working regular Americans against the billionaire class, against any billionaire. Billionaires don't know party. They only know their own wealth and power. That we will refuse ultimately to be exploited. So take heart, because Americans, you and me and Cardi and everyone at Civic and all of us together, we are demanding better. We will demand better. And we will get there, because that is the most important American value. We are a country that has always been built on those that do the real work. And it's high time those that do the real work of this country stand on a dais, that they're given seats of primacy in front of the billionaires' children and wives, in front of the billionaires, even in front of the elected officials, because the Capitol is the house of the people, the house of you and me and the working people of America. So I have hope. I have faith, and I have trust in my fellow Americans, because again, this will become all the more clear with every passing day. Just a reminder, we are at a level of income and wealth inequality that has now exceeded the income and wealth inequality that existed in this country right before the Great Depression. So how bad are we going to let it get? How much are we of the argument that of, oh, it's the immigrants and the women and black and brown folks and the LGBTQIA folks, the folks, the groups that never have held the reins of power and wealth in this country to any extent? The problem isn't those folks. The problem is the people that's telling you that it's those folks. Because what is their incentive to do so? Because if you're worried about somebody else's pronoun choice, you ain't worried about their tax rate. And I'm here to tell you, follow the money. And be proud of the fact that you work. Be proud of the work that your family has put in to get you where you are. I'm proud of it. I'm proud of my family of immigrants. And I'm proud of the work that I've put in so that I can be here with each and every one of you. It is about our collective work. So I thank you so much for listening today and each day. And now I'm going to change the topic, because we need a little fun in the midst of all of this politics and politics, as my colleague Earl Ingram is fond of saying. It has been hella cold out, y'all. I mean, real cold. And I've been in some real cold places. I want to know, how the heck are you staying warm? Are you just staying inside? Are you bundling up and still going on your daily constitutionals? I skipped my daily constitutional yesterday. It was like, it's too darn cold. 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. How are you staying cold? Are you snuggling in with your pups or your kitties or your favorite person in the world? We'll talk about all that and have a little fun when we come back in our last segment of the Maggie Dawn Show. Come join us. 855-75-CIVIC. That's 855-752-4842. How you staying warm out there, everybody? Because it's real cold. And most of the state had an off-school day today. So how'd you stay warm today? Come back in just a moment. We'll have the last segment right here on the Maggie Dawn Show on the Civic Media Radio Network.